Welcome. Did everybody, so do you, did you notice how much we're walking in this building? It's just, it's absolutely, I felt like I've done 3 marathons this week. So let's start with this. Like a couple of years ago, we had our pictures professionally taken. I never get the ability to use them. So every now and then, because if I use this internally, then all the people are gonna like, so I only get to use them here. So about me, let's start off with that. So I'm Cornel, or Cornel, whatever you want to call it. I am Dutch, live in the Netherlands, and so I made sure that we mentioned that Holland is wrong. So even if you go to, even though our official website is holland.com, people, well, we basically say it's Holland because it's easier to spell. But the official name is the Netherlands. This is my personal veto now, of my personal vendetta now, to go out and teach people about the name of my country. So I'm from the Netherlands. I've been with Microsoft for 5+ years. I've spent 15 years in the field. I worked a long time at Dimension Data. I worked a long time at a local Dutch partner. Worked a long time at MCS. Part of the Skype for Business product group. I am a senior customer engineering architect in the customer experience and deployment team. My little baby, for those that have read the Skype operations framework, and you should have all read it by now, we released version 2 this week, and the network readiness assessment is my little baby in there. I was at the booth all week. That doesn't help you now. I realized that after putting the presentation together. So I think I'll go there after this. So if you have some additional questions that aren't answered during the Q&A, you can come there. So I suffer from some defects while presenting, and I will be open and honest with you about that. So I tend to speak rather quickly. English is not my native language, so I make up words every now and then. So if you feel you don't know the word, it's probably because it doesn't exist. So please then let me know that I've said something that sounded weird, and I'll repeat that. I also tend to walk quite a bit, so I can't really stand still while talking and thinking, so I'll be walking around the podium left and right. We're lucky that this is not a creaky podium. That really sort of throws my attention span, because my attention span is usually that of a goldfish. Totally admit to that. So I like having the screen here because it sort of keeps me on track. If I go off track on a little stint, just yell and tell me to go back on track and we'll go back. So you're all thinking, funny guy, he's kidding. Wait till you see me present. So for today, we're going to talk about Cloud Connector Edition. It's an awesome product and we all want you to try it. But if I just start talking about Cloud Connector Edition, we're not going to learn that much. So we want to learn something today. So we're going to talk about the Cloud PBX calling options first. I'm going to walk through that rather quickly, but then it gives you an idea of where to position Cloud Connector Edition. Then we'll talk about Cloud Connector Edition itself, then how to prepare for it, install it, and then running it. I was thinking of doing a demo. The problem with the demo is that starting with the new version, it is super boring because it's like 5 commandlets and I'm waiting for an hour, which would sort of fit well with the NAP idea, but it's not a fun demo. So I did get some screenshots for you, and we will walk through some of the things that you'll be doing, but no demo today. There's an ExpressRoute session tomorrow, which will have a demo. So if you really enjoy demos, come to the session tomorrow. Problem solved. So Cloud PBX calling options. Let's start off with that. So we have a little battle of the acronyms. We have, and we will be using this throughout TechNet and throughout my presentation, and we never really explain them. Sometimes we do, but mostly we assume you know these. So we've got CCE, which is our Skype for Business Cloud Connector Edition. We've got OPPCH, which is on-premises PSTN connection via hybrid deployment. And when you hear that sentence, you know why we're calling it OPPCH. We've got PSTN, which is the publicly switched telephony network. We have CPC, which is cloud PSTN conferencing. And we end with the PBX, which is our private branch exchange, or better known as our telephony box. If you know these terms, you're golden. You're ready, you're in. Now you can talk to every telephony person in the world. So when we talk about Cloud PBX, what does it do? It basically enables a cloud-hosted user to make and receive PSTN calls. And to explain this to the to your leadership team, get Cloud PBX because it makes the phone ring. That's what it does. It makes the phone ring. Why do we want the Cloud PBX license add-on? Why do we want E5? That makes the phone ring. So you see, we're really learning stuff together. So what are my options if I want Cloud PBX? Well, we can get Cloud PBX with PSTN calling. Super simple. If you've been to the booth, you saw some demos about this. You go to Office 365. You basically say, great, I want some phone numbers. Click, click, next, finish, done, everybody happy. Problem with that, only for US, UK, and Puerto Rico, which is, I've recently learned, is like fake America. It's like part of the US, but only if it fits the US and if it makes them money. That's sort of how, what I learned about that. If you're in, so do we have people from France or Spain here? No one? Oh, that's too bad. So if you were from France or Spain or had an office there, go to skypreview.com, sign up, and we have PSTN calling for you in France and Spain starting today. Second option we have to connect is Cloud PBX with on-premises PSTN connectivity. This is awesome for you if you have an existing Skype Business Pool or existing Link 2013. You connect this via hybrid. Your online users can now use your on-prem stuff. We have Skype for Business Cloud Connector Edition. This is basically you don't have any stuff on-prem, but you're not in the US, you're not in Puerto Rico, you're not in France, Spain, or UK, but you still want PSTN. You can deploy Cloud Connector Edition. And it's a smaller version of the on-premises PSTN connectivity via the existing pool. Or what you can, maybe you have the existing deployment, as we told, you can enable that via the on-premises PSTN connectivity, the hybrid portion, and the final thing you can have is just the on-prem pool. Maybe you don't want any online stuff. So because I like pictures, I make pictures. And this is really my skill with PowerPoint. So I was kind of proud of this. I was kind of expecting an applause here because I really worked hard on this, but hey, take your time, we'll wait. So how does Cloud PBX work? I've got an online user. My online user connects to the cloud. I've visualized this with a little cloud, and he calls with the little phone all in the cloud, and then they connect to the PSTN. It really is as simple as this. Let's make it more complicated. Let's use Cloud PBX with Cloud Connector Edition. I warned you about the acronyms. There they are. We have a user. They're homed online. So all the Cloud Connector Edition users are homed online. There are no users on premises. They use the Cloud PBX functionality online. They connect via the public internet or an express route to Cloud Connector Edition, which is on-prem in your customer's DMZ. And that thing connects to the PSTN. Then what if I have an existing deployment? Well, sort of the same as with Cloud Connector Edition. However, you might also have users hosted on-premises. So now I have a set of users that are online, set of users that are on-premises, and they can use the same services on-premises to connect to the PSTN. What if I don't have Cloud PBX? Well, the picture is simple again. I've got a user, Skype Business Server, and I've got PSTN. Super simple. So we've gotten the concepts down now. How do you decide for this? I warned you about the small letters, but you all want it to sit in the back. It's a very simple decision tree. So you start off, do I need to retain my existing PBX? Yes, OK. Do all the users need to stay on a local PBX? Yes. Well, you need Skype for Biz on-prem, because you need the local stuff. Do they maybe not need to be on-premise? No, okay, so we might consider, hey, maybe you want to keep some users on-prem, maybe you want to get some users in the cloud, let's use Cloud PBX together with on-premises. Maybe you want users that have, maybe you have unique PSTN connection capabilities, maybe we don't offer PSTN connectivities in your countries, you can use Cloud Connect Tradition. So we have this, this diagram and some of the links that are in my presentation. It's a very nice, quick decision diagram to see, hey, which of the four options are for me. But we promised we would talk about Cloud Connect Tradition. And I only spent 10 minutes on the previous stuff, so awesome. So what is Cloud Connect Tradition? This is Cloud Connect Tradition. It really is that bridge between the local PSTN and the online world. You can have as much Cloud Connect Traditions as you want. And it really connects that PRI or that local SIP trunk or that local analog line or whatever you have to the online world. Very important to understand that the users are hosted online. So conferences, broadcast meetings, normal online meetings, all those things are still hosted in the cloud. Users are not registering against Cloud Connector. So Cloud Connector talks to online, online talks to Cloud Connector. They're the bestest friends in the world. But no users actually connect directly to Cloud Connector. Cloud Connector Edition. let's go slide. You can do it. Here we go. So what is Cloud Connector? How should we position this? So Cloud Connector Edition is a direct extension of our service. It is not like a server. It's not a standalone thing. It's a direct extension of Skype for Business Online. And we'll talk about that, because there are some consequences there. Because when we offer 99.99% reliability with Skype for Business Online, you must offer that with Cloud Connector Edition as well. So we do. But it also means if you deploy it and you design it on-prem to be a single box that runs on your grandfather's PC, it probably won't reach that 99.99% availability. It's a service. So we've decided on several strategies on how to talk about Cloud Connector Edition. And it's a lose-lose situation. Because initially we thought about positioning Cloud Connector Edition as a black box, right? Here's a set of scripts, run it, it works, don't touch it ever again. And then people started asking us, but what's in it? What's in it? And we know you're all curious, so you're going to look, and then you'll find out it's a set of four virtual machines, and I'll talk a little bit more about the topology later on. But then we start explaining what it was, and then people said, well, then we can't deploy it because it uses Hyper-V. And we're a VMware shop, okay? Well, we can deploy it because it's a Microsoft product, and Microsoft products can be put in the DMZ, okay? But those are the same people that were putting an SBA happily in the DMZ because that's an SBA. It's not a Microsoft, it's an SBA. So we got some interesting commentary there and some interesting placements. So the way we are positioning Cloud Connector Edition is we're telling you what's inside the black box. Consider it as a black box, because you can't change stuff. Sure, you can change a port range or some very basic stuff, but the only administration you can do to this box is via Skype for Business Online. It registers against Skype for Business Online. It's controlled via Skype for Business Online. It's updated via Skype for Business Online. It's an integral part of Skype for Business Online. It's a dedicated box. You can't install anything else on it, so it's a part of the service. That's how we're positioning it. It's a part of our Office 365 service. So if it breaks, you can go online and you can see logs. The Skype for Business operations folk can see logs of the Skype for Business Cloud Connect Edition. So, and because this is a service and this is a part of Skype Business Online, the nice thing is it's so super easy and super quick to deploy. We see these three core scenarios that you can use this for. You can use it as a trial, PSTN calling. It deploys in 7 hours, and I'll explain why it says 7 hours. But if you buy one of those from AudioCodes or Sonos or any of the other people that have packaged Cloud Connector Edition, it'll deploy in about 45 minutes. Super easy. It doesn't do anything to your existing network. It's super easy to register and unregister, and we'll walk through the entire deployment process. So you can basically buy one and be online and run this in like an hour. And then you have full PSTN calling options in your tenant. It's awesome. We also see a very nice deployment scenario where we have a site that we need to enable for Skype for Business Online and PSTN calling. You can deploy this and then be online in an hour. And our third scenario, usage. Okay, so how do we monitor this? How do we update this? How do we keep this online? So our three core scenarios that we've thought and we built this around and how we see you using this, we'll address that in the whole walkthrough. Those are the three key things that we wanted to get in there. We wanted to make sure that's easy, quick, and should just work. So we started out at 1.34. I have no idea why we didn't just call it 1, but it's 1.34. It's in April 2016. And this was basically our first public release of Cloud Connector. We had some preview internal betas before. We weren't always very happy with it. With 1.34, we were happy. Found a little bug, so we updated to 1.38. And at this point, we're currently at version 1.41. So if you download Cloud Connector Edition today, you will get 1.41. The nice things this release has, it has a full auto-update service in there, and it has service resiliency. Talk a little bit about that when we look at topology. So what's coming in version 2? Well, as with all of our products, there's a new version always on the horizon. So what are we going to put in there? We don't know. We need your feedback. So go to skypreview.com. Give us feedback. What could we do better? What must be in there? Talking about auto updates, this is a little bit scary, but this goes back to the whole black box idea. So Cloud Connector Edition is a direct extension of our Skype for Business Online service. Do you have control over updates for Skype for Business Online? No. Same goes with Cloud Connector Edition. It's actually even worse. You could possibly stop updates. We will allow you to set update windows, and I'll show you all the commandlets for that. You can set update windows so it doesn't just reboot in the middle of a working day, which we would consider fairly inconvenient. However, if you block updates to Cloud Connector Edition, you're now in an unsupported scenario. We will flag that. That's something you can see. And actually, in the Skype for Business Online Admin Center, coming very soon, you'll actually see, hey, you've got Cloud Connector Edition deployed. You're blocking updates. We will not support any issues with this installation. So please don't do it. You can set an update schedule. It honors the local time zone of the host. I'll show you some examples of that. By default, we take, I believe, the second Saturday of each month to check for updates, install updates. And we'll install updates to the client machines, the host machine, and we'll install updates to Cloud Connector itself. And the way we install updates is actually pretty cool. So I'll show you that in the next slides. There are, however, some elephants in the room that we need to address, because I get these questions every single time. So feature gaps. We know there's no media bypass. We know you can do custom dial plans. I mean, there's a set of dial plans for each country, and we know they're there because we've built them, but there are no custom dial plans. We know everybody wants custom dial plans, and we're working on enabling that, but that's not there. Coexistence with existing Skype for Business or Link 2013 pools? Nope. So if you currently have Skype for Business or Link 2013 deployed on-prem, you cannot deploy Cloud Connector Edition. It's not a support issue, it's a technical limitation. There is some synchronization happening between on-prem and the cloud, and it's not a fun conversation to have and a fun situation to be in, so don't do it. It won't work. It's obviously something we're looking into. call routing. We'll talk a little bit about the positioning of Cloud Connector, how this sits within the customer's environment. But you can't do custom call routing. Things like least cost routing, things like that, it's not in the product right now. So we know there are feature gaps. We are listening to that feedback, so we're addressing these feature gaps. If you have more feedback, please go to skypreview.com and give us more feedback so we can actually build this into the product. Then this one, hosted Cloud Connector Edition. Let's be very clear about this. We know there are hosters here. We know there are hosters that want to run Cloud Connector Edition. So when we build Cloud Connector Edition, this is built for 70% internal traffic, 30% external traffic. So this isn't documented anywhere. This isn't on TechNet. This is something that, this is the way we've built the product. We've never built this for 100% external usage. When we think of a hoster, we're thinking of someone that's doing, or a company's doing several things to this. So first of all traffic will come in externally. Never tested that, so we don't really know if it's going to work. We don't know. So the current architecture, if we decide to drop one of the virtual machines, and you're a hoster and you've done a lot of changes to our architecture and you're getting an update, and we talked about auto update, you're getting an update and now you've lost your primary machine, yeah, that's going to be hard to explain to your customers. So any tweaking of scripts, making changes to scripts, you can't do that. We don't have provisioning APIs in it. We are not multi-tenant aware, so each Office 365 tenant can connect to multiple Cloud Connector Editions, but one Cloud Connector Edition can only connect to one tenant. Each Cloud Connector Edition needs a dedicated server. So you can't have multiple Cloud Connector Editions on this single Hyper-V farm. We don't support Hyper-V farms. It really is a black box. So if you're a hoster, we've got several hosters, and when they deploy Cloud Connector Edition, what they're doing is they buy a very large blade enclosure, and per customer, they're using a single blade. They extend the customer's network via an MPLS to their own, and they connect that blade to the customer's network. Awesome, do it. Because it's not really different if whether that blade lives in at your data center with an extended network via MPLS, or it lives in the customer's data center, I don't really care. It's the same general principle. But you can't start tweaking scripts, adding additional machines, things like that. We've seen some of our partners coming out with this and adding like a soft SBC as a virtual machine. Well, when an update is applied, maybe your virtual machine isn't there tomorrow. That's a bit of a problem. So the only scenario we're supporting right now is deployment inside a customer's environment on a dedicated machine without any additional virtual machines. Third-party appliances, are they supported? We get that question a lot. Of course, but by the ISV, because they built them. We don't have a third-party Cloud Connector Edition qualification process, so they're totally supported. They're just not qualified because we don't qualify these things. I know AudioCodes has built them, Sonos has built them. They're awesome. You can get a nice discount on the licensing because they're ISVs. They can do some stuff that we can't do. And they I know they don't really tweak scripts right now, so it's awesome. For us, it really is, it's a gateway. It has a little server on board. It's a standalone Cloud Connector Edition. It talks to an SBC or a gateway or whatever. It's fine. It's supported. So that's the last elephant in the room. Are the third-party devices supported? Sure. It works. So having done a fairly large introduction about all the things that it was and it wasn't, let's talk about installing Cloud Connector Edition, because that's why you're all here. So before we install, we have to prepare. So this is our Cloud Connector Edition topology. So on the right, you see our Skype for Business Online infrastructure. You see a user Cornel, you see a user Thomas. We are both happy campers in our online infrastructure, and we are remotely somewhere. You also see user Dave, who is on-premises in the customer's environment. And this customer has chosen to deploy two Cloud Connector editions. These two Cloud Connector editions each contain four virtual machines, a domain controller, an edge, a CMS, and a mediation server component. These four virtual machines, they're installed with, by the installer, they're maintained by the installer. You can't touch these. If you run Topology Builder, it'll break. If you do PowerShell scripts that used to work against on-prem, it'll break. If you start making configuration changes that we haven't documented, you're sending a theme here, it will break. It's a black box. It's an appliance. Use it as one. Because all the difficult stuff, we've taken care of that. And we've got some really cool things, and I'll show you that in the online control panel. But these things are completely maintained online, and they'll report health online, and they'll be updated from online, so you don't need to bother with these. So you deploy them in the DMZ. You'll connect them to one or more gateways. And you can do four cloud connectors per PSTN site. So what's a PSTN site? A PSTN site is a logical site that has a bunch of users assigned to it. And those users will only use the cloud connectors for the PSTN site they're assigned to. So in this case, we have one PSTN site with two cloud connector editions. We've got three gateways. The three gateways are all connected to all cloud connector editions. And all cloud connector editions in that site are connected to all gateways. So it's a many-to-many relationship. So when user Cornel places a call, signaling goes to Skype for Business Online. Skype for Business Online picks a cloud connector edition, happens to be the top one. There's no real logic there. We'll pick one. It's just signaling. We don't really care. We just pick one. Signaling goes to the gateway. Everything's fine. And because we do these service requests and because we get the health status, we know that this Cloud Connector edition is working well. So we can use it. So we did all the signaling. Now the media set up. And the media will go, I shouldn't walk that far to the right. So the media will flow directly through the Cloud Connector edition, mediation server, and gateway. So media doesn't go to Skype Business Online, just to be clear around that. Thomas places a call, same deal, signaling goes to online. He picks a cloud connector edition, happens to pick the bottom one, which is great for my example, so we can see that both of them are actually used. We'll get to a point where signaling gets built up, mediation server, gateway, and at that point we'll get media flowing in the same way. If Dave places a call, same deal. I know there's no graphic here, so I'll explain this. Dave, signaling goes to online, signaling goes back to Edge, mediation gateway, and media now flows to mediation server, then gateway. So Dave's media won't go to the Edge. If any one of these goes down, we'll just not call them until they're back online. If we see a service going down, or one of the machines going down, or having an issue, our host is smart enough to talk to online, tell them, hey, something's broken. We'll mark that cloud connector as down, and then we start trying to fix it. So we'll start rebooting services. If that doesn't work, we'll start rebooting machines. If that doesn't work, we'll see, OK, what's the issue here now? Then we'll report the issue back to Skype for Business Online. And now with getting a status update, you can actually see what the issue is on your cloud connector editions. So there is some logic there. There's some intercommunication, and we make sure that you have a working environment. So the concept, a user is assigned to a single PSTN site. You can have as many PSTN sites as you want. One or more cloud connectors are assigned to a single PSTN site. You can have up to four cloud connectors in a single PSTN site for high availability. a PSTN site is usually one customer's location. If a cloud connector is not functioning, we'll do failover within the PSTN site. There's no disaster recovery or failover between PSTN sites. It's always within a PSTN site. What you can do is assign your users to a different PSTN site. And as soon as they're assigned to a different PSTN site, they'll start using that PSTN site for calls. Skype for Business Online will always try to get a failed instance back online, rebooting services, rebooting machines. And centralizing these things is not great. You will get additional delay. You might get additional packet loss. We really designed these machines to be cheap, to be deployed on local sites. Even if you have like only 30 lines, get a small appliance, deploy it. If you need high availability, get two. And deploy these locally. So what must I do before I can start deploying? So first of all, and this is a failure for a lot of customers, unfortunately, verify that you don't have Link or Skype for Business deployed on-prem. It won't work. Then ready a host with server 2012 R2 and Hyper-V enabled. That's the only stuff that's enabled on there, nothing else. Download and install the Cloud Connector Edition MSI, aka.ms/cloud-connector-installer. The newest one will always be available there. Have your ISO file ready. Which ISO file? Windows Server 2012 R2 standard. That's the one you need. Update the host with the latest Windows updates. Make sure that's all ready to go. The host must be a dedicated machine. It's in the DMZ. It can't be part of a high availability Hyper-V cluster. It's a standalone host. And all requirements must be met. That's always an awesome sentence to put in there. So what are the requirements? I've made some great slides about the requirements for that. However, we're going to require quite a bit of information. What you want to know is, hey, what do you want the virtual machine login names to be? What's the IP address? What's the DNS name? All that information. So we made a printable list, aka.ms/deploy-cloud-connector. And you can print a nice table. You can give this to your customer. And you can ask them, hey, please complete this list. We've been very descriptive about what are those values supposed to mean. And you can just go in there and hand this over, have a workshop with your customer, and make sure you get all the information. Everything you need to start deploying Cloud Connector is in that list. So once you've completed that list, we'll go back to the requirements. Because this is what you need to have. Are you going to do a large Cloud Connector, a default install? You will need a dual 64-bit 6-core processor. You will need a 64 gigs of RAM, 4 600 gig disks, and 3 network connectors. We will test for this, and it'll fail if you don't have this. We'll not be able to install. As far as the 3 network connectors, that's where we get the most questions about. So one's for out-of-band management, because this thing is still in your DMZ. One is for the external connection. One is for the internal connection. Because Skype for Business requires a dedicated connection that shouldn't be shared with any management operations. If you want to do a small deployment, that's fine, 50 concurrent calls. You get an i7, 32 gigs of RAM, a SATA disk, a 2-1 gig Ethernet connections. So you'll see that RAID 0 is fine. We're asking for RAID 0 because SATA isn't that quick, and to run 4 virtual machines on there, and actually 9 at times, but we'll talk a little bit about that. It's just the SATA won't be quick enough, so we need RAID 0. But there's no high availability then. That's correct. It's a black box. If it's dead, it's dead, and then we'll use the secondary device. If you need to reinstall, have your config file ready. The only thing we need is the configuration file, and the rest is all automatic deployment. So this is the hardware. What do we need for Office 365? So it's kind of weird to say it must be online and deployed. You'd be amazed how many people have it, but oh, it actually needs to work. Yes, it does. You need to have tenant admin access. So this is a deal breaker for some customers that want to have Cloud Connector Edition hosted, because your hoster will need to have tenant admin access. You need to have ADFS or fully cloud in place. ADFS is there for the directory synchronization, or all your users must live in the cloud. It's going to get really messy real quick if you're not doing synchronization and multiple identities. Your DNS names must be deployed in advance. So there are a couple of DNS names. We need an access proxy and a media relay DNS name. We explain why we need them in the config file. You have to give them, basically you have to supply them in a configuration file. If you've given them but they're not registered against the IPs you've told us they would be at, Cloud Connect Edition will fail because we can't register the device. You can't do SIP.SIP domain. That's reserved for Skype for Business Online. So most customers will use AP.SIP domain, MR.SIP domain. If you have a secondary PSTN site, you get AP2.SIP domain, et cetera, et cetera. A vanity domain is required. So you can't use your own Microsoft.com address. It must be your vanity domain. Once that all set up, this is the tricky part. Your host in your DMZ must have internet access. This is going to be a great conversation to have. Yes, it must have internet access, DNS, and HTTP and HTTPS. That's enough, because we'll be downloading stuff on the host. The virtual machines must have access to either Windows Update or a local WSUS server. You will need 4 internal IP addresses, 1 external IP address, 1 public certificate for the edge, and your correct ports must be opened. And the correct ports are listed below on technet.microsoft.com because they change depending on your configuration. The public edge certificate. I'm just not going to be subtle about this. Please don't be cheap about your public edge certificate. I've had people trying to save $2 on a certificate, and they get a certificate from a sub-intermediate provider, and then there's an intermediate provider, and then there's a top provider, and there are like 15 in between them, and they save $1 a year, and that's awesome. But now you try to install, and then Windows doesn't see this as a correct certificate, and then you have to install all the intermediary certificates, and we talked about how you shouldn't be touching the machines. This will become clear in the auto update. If you're getting an edge certificate for which you need to install all kinds of intermediate certificates, auto update will not be your friend. Because you'll get a new edge machine, it'll break, you'll have downtime, and now you have to explain why you saved a buck, but you got 5 hours of downtime. So please don't get a publicly recognized certificate. Yes. However, there's always buts involved. Yes, you can, but SIP.SIP domain must be explicitly declared as a common name, as a SAN name. So you can do star.SIP domain as long as in the SAN names, SIP.SIP domain is there as well. This is only for Cloud Connector Edition. This is not for Skype Business on-prem. Different requirements, because we're not the same. So how do we do this? So a lot of these commandments are a little bit of dark magic, so I'll explain them to you. We'll start off with, so we've installed the MSI, we've got the host, we do set-cc appliance directory. What do? We basically say, hey, all the stuff we're doing should go in this directory. Awesome. It's a local working directory. Now we do a set-cc site directory. We talked about PSTN sites. It's a shared folder unique to each PSTN site. It must be the same for all Cloud Connector editions in the same PSTN site. This is where we put all our shared stuff. So root certificates, things like that, things that need to be shared among Cloud Connector editions. If you only have one, it can be a local folder. Then we do a set-cc external certificate path. So what's that? That's your external public edge certificate. It's a PFX. Once you set this, it'll ask you, hey, can you please give me the password for this PFX? You type in the password, all is well. We'll verify that you're not trying to cheat during the install steps, because we build a lot of logic in there. At that point, we use export-cc configuration sample. So quick guess, where do you think the configuration sample file will go? Who knows? I was super enthusiastic. Let's try again. Where does the configuration sample file go? It goes into the appliance directory because we've set a local working folder. We open up the configuration sample file and we edit the file. So all the information you got from your customer, like IP addresses and external DNS namespaces, all goes into the configuration file. Save the configuration file, and then we do use start-cc download. The bits will be downloaded. So we'll always get the latest bits from the internet. We'll get the Skype Business Server edition, all the stuff we need. We need two virtual network adapters, one that's directly attached to the internal, one that's directly attached to the external, and you must disable allow management connection to share this network adapter. There are dedicated adapters, one for CorpNet, which is internal, one for internet, which is external. Almost time for coffee then. Because now you get to do, while we're downloading, you get to do some other stuff. You go to the, you connect to your online tenant, you set your tenant hybrid configuration that you allow hybrid. You have to set your peer destination. You have to tell online, hey, this is going to be my edge server for my Cloud Connector Edition. We also have to disable the on-prem dial plan. Why? Because there is no on-prem. So by default, we'll allow this. Specifically, you have to set this to use on-prem dial plans false. At that point, we do a set CS tenant federation configuration. Shared SIP namespace set to true. So now we can share this one namespace between online and on-prem. And to enable users, you do a set-cs user identity, enterprise voice enabled is true, hosted voice mode is true, and the on-prem line URI equals this phone number. At that point, you're basically ready from an online perspective to start using Cloud Connector Edition. But we haven't installed anything yet. Yeah, that's true. At this point, the download is sort of done. So you've got all the bits, they're all in the appliance directory, your host is ready to go. So what do? We prepare the template file. So for very good reasons, we can't give you a VHDX. So you have to create the VHDX yourself. This is where the Server 2012 ISO comes into place. So you run convert-cc ISO to VHDX, and then you give the file path of the ISO file. And it starts creating a temporary virtual machine. This takes the template IP address. So that's one of the IP addresses you needed. It'll install that machine, prepare it to run Cloud Connector Edition. It'll install all the updates. It'll get it ready. Unfortunately, even if you use the latest Windows Server 2012 R2 with update version, that ISO file, it can still take up to 5 hours before that's prepped, all the downloads are installed, everything's ready to go. So coffee time. This is one of those things that would be great to prepare before going onto the customer site. I like my customers. I don't often go to them, but spending 5 hours drinking coffee will be definitely something they'll talk about when I send a bill. So please take this into account. It'll take up to 5 hours to create that VHDX file. Good news is, if you're deploying multiple machines, once you have that file, you can just reuse it for all the other cloud connectors. So you don't need to redo this every single time. Now that's done, we're almost done. All we have to do is register that CC appliance. What we do is we take your appliance and we register against Skype Business Online. Do you have multiple hosts in your PSTN site? On the second, you don't have to register it anymore. You only have to publish it because you've already registered your PSTN site. So you publish the secondary and third and fourth one. And once they're either registered or published, all you have to do is install -cc appliance. From then, it's pure magic. It starts taking your VSDX file, it starts building all the machines, it installs all the nice little components that we need, it registers the machines, it boots the machines up. Takes about an hour, depending on your hardware. For the smaller editions, like an hour and a half. For the larger ones, it's about an hour. And all of the steps are taken. if you run install-cc appliance, take a look at the screen. Not only has have the scripts been built by a brilliant developer, so they're awesome to look at. If there's any validation issue, this is the point where this will get highlighted. So maybe you try to cheat and use a public edge certificate that didn't have the correct names because you would fix that next week. Won't install. Maybe you're using bad DNS names. Won't install. Maybe you made a typo. Once again, the team's here. It won't install. So we're validating the entire logic of the configuration file just to make sure that we're not getting a bad installation. Because we talked about how you can't really make changes to it. Once it's installed, guess what you have to do to make a configuration change like getting new DNS names? Wipe everything, new configuration file, reinstall. So beep, I would sort of double check my configuration file. Good news is, once I know my configuration file is right, I copy that file, copy my certificate, and if anything were ever to happen to that Cloud Connect tradition, just wipe it and reinstall it. It's an hour, and if I have HA anyway, fair enough. Okay, so I'm on a single lag for an hour, just reinstall. So what if I have multiple PSTN sites? You can do 1,500 concurrent calls per PSTN site. How do I get to that number? A large Cloud Connect or a normal Cloud Connect tradition can do 500 calls. We do N minus 1 for high availability. So 4 Cloud Connect traditions will give me 2,000 calls, but 1,500 calls high available because one can fail. If you're using multiple sites, your edge name, your certificate, all that stuff must be the same within a single PSTN site, different between PSTN sites. So if ap.sibdomain is my edge external name in site 1, my second PSTN site must be ap2. Can't use the same one. The site name must be unique in the configuration file, and users must be assigned a PSTN site. If you just want PSTN site, default will work. If you have multiple PSTN sites, you can do a set-user CS tenant hybrid, well, PSTN configuration something. I have the commandlets in the next slide, and you can actually assign them to a specific PSTN site. Nice thing about this is the PSTN site doesn't have to be online to change users. So if you want to build a disaster recovery scenario, deploy 2 PSTN sites and just forcefully assign them to a new PSTN site if the primary one is down. So what are my commandlets? Creating the site, new-cs hybrid PSTN site. How to get an overview of all the PSTN sites I have, get-cs hybrid PSTN site. These are, by the way, these are all online commandlets, right? And we're taking this in stride, so I like the way how you're receiving all the information. But the one thing that every time I talk about this, I'm thoroughly impressed. This is all online, so we're not doing anything on-prem. All the on-prem stuff we're doing, we're actually making sure that this is all done online. So getting the hybrid PSTN sites, defining them, testing them, updating a site, so if you have a new name or if you have a new access FQDN name, all done online. This is all defined online. How to remove, and if you want to add them to a new site or a different site, set-user PSTN setting identity and then the hybrid PSTN site name. So this is what you need for your multiple PSTN sites. Now we have this. What about running Cloud Connect tradition? Super easy. Once you've finished the installation, you're basically done. It works. Simply, it just works. So how do we run this? So before version 1.41, and this is actually pretty cool, and I wanted to get this in here because it's the method is just really cool. You do in star-cc download. Same as you did with the first installation, but now it'll get the latest versions of the bits. It'll check, hey, do I have the latest version? If not, I'll download them. You register your appliance again, because now you have to tell them, hey, Skype Business Online, I've got a new version. And if you were before 1.41, you have to, it's not automatic, so you have to do this manually. So you register this against the cloud. The cloud knows, hey, you're an older version. We need you to update. By hand, you can actually do an install -cc appliance -upgrade. If you do the upgrade, now your installer file will know, hey, we're doing an upgrade. And what this does, it creates a new set of virtual machines with the newest bits while the old version is still running. It's pretty awesome. So we install the new version. We test the new version, make sure the new version is working fine. And once it's done and it works and we know it's running the new version, you can go in and do switch-cc version. It'll turn off the old version, and it'll flip to the new version. So the downtime is about 1 to 4 minutes. What if the new version doesn't work correctly? We do switch-cc version, and it goes back to the old version. And we once again have a working configuration. Because the local configuration doesn't have any data in it. It doesn't need any data in it. So if it ever crashes, we install it, and it's back as good as new. I know we keep talking a lot about like things when it crashes and stuff like that. We've never really had issues with it, so it's more of an assurance. But hey, these are the options you have. With auto update, all of this stuff happens automatically. So it just automatically will get the new machines, build the new machines, have the new machines stand in standby. It'll look at your auto, it'll look at your update window, and during the update window, it'll flip. If it doesn't come back up, if it doesn't work correctly, at that point, we'll flip back to the old version. You can set an auto update schema. If you go into get CS hybrid PSTN site, it'll actually show you the update windows. It'll show you the configuration of that site. We've got some screenshots of that. You can set new tenant update time windows. And yes, you can actually create these windows so it never updates. And you're back in that unsupported scenario. And then you can apply that update window to the site. So how does that look like? When you register your CCA appliance to Office 365, now in Office 365 will show you, hey, your identity is high availability site 2. Your Edge FQDN is this. And the nice things that we'll show you here, so the bits update time window list and the OS update time windows list, because we set them separately. This is the default. I'll show you the default in a second. It'll also show you your access ID. So we actually have two PSTN sites defined, HA site 2 and CORP, two different access FQDN sites. You can see they're both auto-updating. And when it comes to the time window, we've got several time windows defined. So an operating system daily check. We've got a bits daily check. The default for both bits and updates, so the default for the bits is the second Saturday of each month at 12 o'clock at night. The OS update is the first Saturday of every month, also 12 o'clock at night. That's our maintenance window, and in that time we can check and install and do all that stuff and take the Cloud Connect tradition down. And this is based on the local time zone of the server. So if you've got a deployment in the US and Europe and all these different time windows, it won't use US time for funny business or stuff like that. So it'll use the local time zones. So service health, and I think this is the coolest of all. If you go and do a get your PCN set, you get your cloud connector, it'll actually show the mediation server FQDN. And then it'll show the stage of the entire site. So in this case, you can see that the maintenance mode is false because it's not our update window. We're not running maintenance right now. The current status of this thing is it's registered and deployed. The stage is running, and the version was 1.3.8.3.3, which was our beta version. We'll show you this exactly for each PSTN site. We'll show you the stage. At this point, you can see in the second one, is just registered. While it's running, it's not completely deployed yet. So the host is running, but Cloud Connect Tradition isn't yet deployed yet. And we give you all of this information so that if you go to Skype Business Online, the PowerShell, you can pipe these commandlets, so you can just go online and then check, hey, how are my Cloud Connect relations doing? If there are any issues, like I said, we try to remediate them automatically. Or else we will show you, hey man, look at this. This is broken, this is stopped, there's a service issue. We'll give you a lot of feedback on the error messages. So with that, we've talked about what it is, what you need to deploy it, how you start deploying it, how we've deployed it, and how we run it, which gives us 19 minutes for Q&A. Who dares to ask a question? Yes, questions? Microphone, awesome. Yes, and I'm sure he'll
hello.
There we go.
First question about the networks. There's two networks, one internal, one external.
Correct.
What if you have a customer who needs to have VLAN tagging running on the Hyper-V host?
Then enable VLAN tagging on your network adapter.
Okay, instead of Hyper-V manager.
Yeah, so they need to be a dedicated adapter anyway. Per set of so the internal the internal switch would be a dedicated switch, and the external would be a dedicated switch as well. So I don't know why your customer would do trunking over that specific port. They might as well just make it an access port.
The dedicated stuff makes it. Yeah, I know. So second question.
Sure.
The certificates. You want the external certificate to be publicly trusted, and the internal one needs to be internal.
We take care of the internal certificates. We generate them on our own. We apply them on our own. It's all done in the cloud connector. And if you have multiple cloud connectors in a PSTN site, that's why we need that site directory.
Yeah.
We share the internal certificate between the internal cloud connectors.
Yeah, and that's the problem for some customers. They want to do TLS against the SPC, and they don't want the overhead of adding the root certificate to that SPC. They want to have a public certificate for the internal mediation stuff. Is that possible? No.
I like when you answer your own question. So the reason why it's not possible is not us. It's the rules of the game for certificates. You can't put .local names in certificates anymore. So that would require that the internal domain name has to be a public domain name, which makes routing interesting. So that'll be very interesting to do. You could technically replace all the internal certificates. But that's sort of touching it, and we told you you're not allowed to touch it.
You could do like a subdomain, like hybrid.sipdomain.com or something for the internal CCE domain.
Yeah, so I've had that. I ran the CCE tab, so I'm familiar with a lot of the customers' complaints. I've never had a customer really explain to me why they couldn't add the root certificate, apart from it's very inconvenient, but it's a minute of work, so it's a supported way. So I'm really going to go with you need to import the root certificate of the CCE. It's a one-time thing, and you're good for the next gazillion years.
Yeah, I understand, but the thing is, one of my customers is a hoster, and they have like potentially in their mind, obviously, they have 1,000 customers that they don't want to import 1,000 certificates.
I get your answer.
Thank you.
Sorry for that. But so skypreview.com, give us the feedback, and then we can track it. Yes.
Does the update schedule follow Microsoft's regular update schedule, second Tuesday,
nope.
Or is it just as necessary?
You can define that. So you get to define the update schedule. By default, for the OS, it's the first Saturday of each month. For the bits, it's the second Saturday of each month. And you can define that. But the updates that we publish, whenever we feel like it. That's our update schedule.
I guess that's what I'm wondering is it, are there updates every month, or is it just?
I'm gonna quote John Carmack, and for those that are unfamiliar with John Carmack, I'm crying inside. It's done when it's done. That's sort of the update schedule for us. But please be aware there are three sets of updates. Updates to Cloud Connector Edition, there's updates to the OS, and there are updates to the internal bits and the internal OS, and perhaps the Skype for Business bits. And that's all when it's done. So for the OS updates, yes, second Tuesday thingy, yes.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Hello.
Question about wildcard certificates. So you mentioned that SIP domain should be in the subject alternative name.
Yes.
What about subject name? I know most CA case will issue wildcard with the wildcard in subject name, right? Mm-hmm. And TechNet insists on having SIP.SIP domain in the subject name.
So I don't remember by heart if it says it must be in the CN or the
yes, the in the common name.
If it must be in the common name, then yes, it must be in the common name, yeah.
Okay, so common name should be SIP.SIP domain and in subject name.
So in the SAN as well, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Oh. But I think there's a... Yeah, just send me an email, I'll find that out exactly, because I think I've seen customers have a wildcard certificate
with SIP
just in the SAN. I can find out. I point at myself. If you have my name, just email someone within Microsoft and ask for me, and I'm the only Cornel within Microsoft, so it's super easy to find me. So kbuttons@microsoft.com. Send me an email, and I'll find that out.
One more question about ADFS.
Yeah.
Is ADFS required as in AAD sync because of their sync component, or
yes,
AD synchronization, or because of actual authentication?
So
password sync. Would
yes, work? That's a very that's more of a like a five question in one, but it's okay. I'll help you.
Thank you.
So if your users only live in the cloud, then no point to it. If your users live on-prem, then we really want that for the synchronization so you don't get dual identities. But if you do ADFS together with the whole federated authentication, then you get this nice seamless experience where you sign into Windows and it just works. So is it required? No. Will your users thank you? Yes.
I have multiple questions regarding Cloud Connector.
Awesome. And we have 13 minutes, so if you great, stretch it to 13 minutes, the guy behind you will be very annoyed.
No problem. The first question is, why is a specific hardware required for the Cloud Connector to be installed? Can we install it on the shared hardware?
So I'm sorry, now we... Why is... Oh, you mean dedicated hardware?
Yes, dedicated hardware.
Because it's an appliance.
It's a compliance issue, not
No, no, it's an appliance, because Cloud Connector is an appliance.
Okay, all right.
That's why we require it.
Okay. The second question is, if we need to assign an extension to the kitchen or any other staff on the reception, is it mandatory to assign an Office 65 E5 license to those users?
Ooh, that's a license question. So I'm really not going to burn my fingers on this one. Because I know there's debate around that, and the right person to answer that question. So for those that didn't completely understand the question, I know exactly what you mean. If you have like devices and stuff, do they also require a user license?
Exactly.
I'm gonna say talk to your Microsoft Services representative. They will see Microsoft license representative. They will be able to answer that question and send you a bill in great detail. I can't go into
no
that
problem.
Question.
Another question, if the user wants to go outside of the office, can his extension ring on his phone as if he has the internet on his phone?
They all get DIDs, so phone numbers. If they, I don't really care wherever the world to sign in, so if they work from home or a phone or whatever, yeah, it will just work, yeah.
So it could be transferred on the phone if he's outside or leaving the desk?
Well, wherever he can sign in with Skype for Business, he can use phone, yeah.
So the person who is dialing the extension, it can be ring on his phone.
Sure.
Great. Thank you.
I'm not 100% sure if I understood your question correctly, but I'm just going to go with if the phone works in Skype for Business, it'll work on any device that has Skype for Business. Yeah.
That's the question. Thank you.
So, SimRing. Oh, sure. You can do SimRing. Yeah.
So two questions regarding the auto update process.
Yes.
How long does it take?
I'm going to go back to John Carmack for that one.
Sorry?
I'm going to go back to John Carmack for that one. It's done what it's done. It shouldn't take that long.
Yeah.
But if we need to update a bit, and we would spin up the four new machines, test them, enable them, it could take up to 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And will so the whole CCE will be down during that period?
No.
No?
No. Installing updates, so it's a separate process. So installing the bits, and that's the cool thing about that, we'll spin up new machines,
okay,
install the updates to the new machines, test the new machines, And only when the new machines have been found to be doing well, we'll do an IP switch. So we'll take down the old machines one by one, strip out the old IP addresses, and put the new IP addresses on the new machines. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, so you'll have like a few seconds of
It's downtime. 1 to 4 minutes of downtime.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Did we answer all the questions within time? It's awesome. Very proud of myself. So we have 9 minutes left. So I can give you 9 minutes of your life back. We can ask more questions. You can come up to the stage and annoy me. I'll be here for like 40 more minutes because then I've got an appointment. So thank you for being here and standing with me through this whole process. Oh, and I'm required to tell you, we've got a tech community. Go there and register and have fun.